The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. But early in the morning, he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, this magnificent example of rabbinic argumentation is loved the world over, and by every religion. Did you know that? This little passage of scripture here from the Gospel of John, probably the most popular internationally, that is to say, interreligiously, of any passage in all the scriptures. I heard a rabbi once say that this is the finest example of the Old Testament rabbinical tradition that he's ever seen put into print. And we love this passage too, because we instinctively put ourselves in the place of the woman, and we say, "Lord, have mercy on me, because if you're going to be strict with me, I'm not going to make it." However, would it surprise you to learn that the early church had a real problem with this passage? I'll try to remember to explain why in just a second, but the early church had a real problem with this passage and didn't include it in the earliest passages, in the earliest writings of the Gospel of John. They just skipped it and left it out entirely. So let's try to understand a little bit of the background here of what's going on. In the book of Deuteronomy, there are three crimes punishable by death. Those are adultery, murder, and apostasy, punishable by death. However, there hasn't been a religious execution in Israel in at least 600 years because only the ruling authorities had the power to condemn anyone to death, and in this case, that power was reserved to the Romans. Pharisees knew that, but they couldn't care less. The only thing they cared about was trapping Jesus in his speech, and now, at last, they had. "Teacher," they said to him, "this woman was caught committing adultery, and under the law of Moses, we are commanded to stone such women to death. So, what do you say about the matter?" "Whatever Jesus says, he's trapped. If he says that she should go free, then he opposes the law of Moses. If he says that she should be stoned to death, then he opposes the Roman authorities. No matter what he does, they finally trapped him." But you can't trap God, right? You can't trap God. And as so perfectly typical of God's unending surprises, Jesus does the last thing any of them would ever expect, bends down, writes in the ground. Now, don't you wish you knew what he wrote? It's the only time in the Bible in which Jesus is ever recorded as writing anything, and he writes it in that most impermanent of all media, sand, right? Don't you wish you knew what he wrote? Well, we've got a clue, at least. We've got a clue, and here's why. Because the Gospel of John loves Old Testament parallels. If you can find an Old Testament parallel in the Gospel of John, believe me, it's deliberate. And there's only one time in the whole Old Testament in which God ever writes anything in his own hand. Do you know what that is? It's the Ten Commandments. Go back to the book of Exodus and you'll see that God wrote the tablets of the Ten Commandments with his own hand. And now, Jesus is writing a new commandment, a commandment of mercy. But it's complicated. It's costly. You know why the early church had trouble with this passage? Because they had a hard time with mercy. Because they were living under a time of persecution. And they didn't know whether to choose mercy or justice. Because imagine this. Early church under persecution. People are being put to death for their faith, left and right. And some people would apostatize from faith, right? The Roman authorities would come to them and say, "Well, you renounce being a Christian. If you don't renounce your faith, we'll put you to death." And they'd renounce their faith right there on the spot. And then what would they do? They'd come back to church and they'd ask for forgiveness. They'd ask to sit side by side in the mass with people who had lost husbands and wives and mothers and fathers because they wouldn't renounce their faith. Very, very complicated. So a question for you here this morning, and a real life question, a real difficulty. When you're forced to choose between mercy and justice, what do you choose? When you choose justice, do you ever feel like you're being too strict? When you choose mercy, do you ever feel like you're being too lax? What do you choose? The answer is you choose both, but you remember that mercy always costs. Jesus chooses both, right here in this gospel, mercy and justice. There will be a death for this crime, but not hers. There will be a death for this crime, but Jesus himself will pay the price of his own blood. He's absolutely unflinching in principle, right? Faithful to the law. And inflinching in principle, go and sin no more, but absolutely merciful. That's the challenge now that you and I, we need to pray about and try to integrate that into our lives. A bunch of years ago, I heard a story. Little girl walks into a jewelry shop, goes to the shop owner. She says, I want to buy a present for my mother. Shop owner says, sure, we can help you with that. What can I do for you? And she proceeds to tell a story of how her father just died, and how she wants to get something for her mother because she hopes that it'll cheer her up. Shop owner says, how much money did you bring with you today? And she pulls out a pocket full of change, nickels and dimes and quarters. Shop owner says, I've got just the perfect thing for you, and quote, sells her a ring, of course paying the rest of the price himself. That's mercy. That's an imitation of Christ. We're often forced to choose between justice and mercy. And if we possibly can, we want to pray about this. And remember, real mercy costs every time. Fake mercy ignores the law. And there's tons of fake compassion in the world these days, isn't there? All kinds of people saying, compassion, compassion, compassion. Let's all be so compassionate. And you understand, all their compassion amounts to ignoring the truth, ignoring what God has asked of us. That's fake. That's cheap. That's counterfeit. Real mercy pays the price. Pays the price ourselves. That's the imitation of Christ. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, pray for us.